Praise the Lord. Cody, that's awesome what God has done tonight. After he received the Holy Ghost and settled back down to earth a little bit, he said, that's exactly what I needed right there. Woo! Brother, you've got a crowd of witnesses that agree with you and believe the very same thing. That is exactly what we needed. And that's yours to enjoy any given time, wherever you're at. Praise the Lord. Amen. Tonight, while you're standing, let's look to the Word of the Lord. We're going to, let's focus on the book of Romans, chapter number 1 and verse number 5. And where the Word of God says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. The same faith. Have you ever asked, has anyone ever asked you what faith you are? They've asked me, what faith are you? That's a very incorrect question. That is a question that is in error, because the Bible tells us in Ephesians there's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. There is only one faith. Now, they can ask, what's the name of your church? Or what do you guys call yourself? Or whatever. But there is only one faith. And tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to feel the challenge to be obedient to that faith. Amen. And I know that the reason that people ask what faith you are is because there's a lot of different beliefs out there. But again, that's error. Amen. Now, I'm not here to tell you that we're right and everybody else is wrong. I'm just here to tell you that the Word of God is right and everybody else is wrong. If it's a different opinion than from the Scripture, people are wrong. And so when the Scripture gives us and verifies a particular doctrine, and when it does that, isn't that for everybody? Regardless of what the name of the church is or what the organization is. And he didn't come for an organization. He came for people. And so I am very careful on Tuesday nights to share the specific Word of God with you. In fact, we'll have a plethora of Scripture here tonight to share with you regarding the subject. I just want you to know. I want you to comprehend this. That it will be the Word of God that makes us free. Amen. The Word of God does that. And not someone's opinion. And what someone thinks or what someone feels. I had a person tell me one time that they were saved because they woke up that early that morning and they were working in the field. The sun was shining over the trees and they just felt warmth all over, and they knew that God saved them right there. That was it. That's how easy it is to fall from truth. That's not truth. God's Son, I'm talking about S-U-N, feels good. The breeze in the summer feels good. The trees are gorgeous. They're even better when you're reborn. But just because you saw that. Now, here's what happens. Men feel that so strong in their heart until they'll go off in somewhere and build a church and call it the Sun Gospel. Am I right? Amen. We got a church that just started in Lexington called the Man Church. I don't know what that means, but that's going to get a lot of ladies upset. Because this is for whosoever will. I'm just saying, people have gone. And because of that, whole organizations are developed and put together. Did you know that there's a church, that organization that got started many years ago because someone said that an angel came down and gave them a golden tablet. And all the scripture or whatever it is they needed to know about being saved and born again and all of that was in this golden tablet. And the angel's name was Moroni. Did you know that? Yeah. Yeah. And that's what they believe. And there's nothing that there's nothing the Bible can say or anyone else can say to stir it. If I told you what organization it was, you'd say, whoa. I'm not here to bash other organizations. I'm just here to tell you what happens. I'm talking about a major church organization in our nation and around the world. Your pastor in his silliness simply said, that could be true. That Moroni came along and gave them a bunch of baloney. Because the scripture says that neither me or angels or anything else can give you another doctrine. That if they do give you another doctrine other that's in the Word of God, they shall be cursed. You say, well, how can an angel deceive somebody? Because they're angels of God. Because a third of the angels fell out of heaven. And some wound up in hell and some have wound up right here on earth to possess people and their demons. That's deep, isn't it? That's very deep. And you're going to hear it through the process of time because it's my responsibility to teach it. This is all the Word of God. See, the Word of God goes deeper than just have a frothy feeling and goosebumps and sunshine. And so we're going to talk, we're going to take a little bit of that and we're going to talk about faith tonight. And that the title is Obedience to the Faith. Obedience to the faith. Amen. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us with Bible study this evening. Master, we do praise you and thank you. We do honor you and exalt you. We glorify your wonderful name and we ask you to bless every individual in the house of God tonight with more knowledge, understanding of the scripture, and that we can walk in your will by fulfilling the will of God through the Word of God in Jesus' name. And somebody shout amen. Thank you again for being here. You may be seated. Amen. Obedience to the word, to the faith. Praise the Lord. And then now in Romans chapter 3, verses 24 and 25, we learn being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Amen. Paul, sometimes when he put these scriptures to parchment and paper and they all came together eventually in the King James Bible, Paul was a little smart for his britches. He was hard to understand. He still is. You have to read it over and over and you have to study it. But here's what Paul was saying. In every age, salvation has come by grace through faith based on the blood of Jesus Christ. But saving faith, everybody say saving faith. Well, I'm not talking about faith to believe somebody's blind eye to be opened or faith for somebody to receive the Holy Ghost on a Tuesday night Bible study or faith to believe that everything's going to be all right when you're going through trouble, trial, and tribulation. I'm talking about faith-based salvation faith. Amen. Saving faith. It is more than intellectual acceptance or just a verbal agreement. And I'm going to verify this in the Word of God. It's more than just saying something from your mouth. Amen. It includes a deep response. Somebody say a response. A verbal agreement with the Word of God. It includes response to application. Amen. It's like, and I know many of you have had jobs. Some of you have had many jobs. But the thing is, you had to fill out an application. The Bible is like an application. Amen. It's not a few things that you can obey if you want, and a few things you don't have to if you don't want to. It's not. We've got to get the Bible in order. We've got to figure it out. And particularly the day and the time and the era in the scripture that we live today, we've got to find it and fall obedient to it. We are responsible to fill out the application and try out for the streets of gold. Unfortunately, the American way in the last days is this. God ought to feel fortunate that I even came tonight because I didn't feel like it. Well, you know, we can have that attitude, but God doesn't, and you'll find out, but it'll be too late when you find out. If we don't obey the word of God and repent and humble ourselves and walk in the Spirit and fulfill the will of God. The bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, and we need to get this in our heads, he's the boss. He's the master. He's the father. Amen. And we're the children and the servants and the church. And what he says, somebody say, goes. Thank you. Amen. And so it's saving grace, or saving faith is more than just lip service. By faith, here it is. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he moved with fear. He prepared an ark. Did he not prepare an ark? He prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned, the Bible says, the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7. Amen. I want you to get this. Amen. Let me say it again. By faith, Noah was warned of God. Things yet not seen. We've been warned. Tribulation is coming. The rapture is coming. Hell is coming for those disobedient to the word. Heaven is coming for those that have put their guts and blood and spirit and have sold out to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. All of that is getting ready to take place. It, just like it was. And the Bible even compares it to Noah's day in that it says, as in the days of Noah, men shall be doing this and doing that and doing this. And so, and then all of a sudden the rapture is going to take place just like the flood took place. And so Noah moved with fear. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Not only did Noah not know how to build a boat, Noah had never seen it rain. It never rained until after the flood. The earth was watered by a mist that would come up, like a heavy dew. Amen. I can't explain it like it really was because I wasn't there. One little boy asked a man, he said, were you on the ark? The old man said, no, I wasn't on the ark. And the boy said, well, then why didn't you drown? He knew he was old enough to be on the ark. But I wasn't on the ark, and I didn't see that. But I do know for a fact it didn't rain until after the flood. That's when it started raining, and that's how God was able to put a rainbow in the sky as a sign that the earth will never be destroyed by flood again. I don't want to go too far out here tonight because I really want you to get the essence of the point that I'm trying to share here tonight. But Noah moved by fear and obeyed God, even though he had no clue how all of this is going to turn out. I don't get this big boat thing. I don't get and comprehend this flood stuff. I don't understand animals coming in two by two. There's a couple of critters I wish had never found the ark. One's a mosquito, but he found it. And another's a tick. Red bug, wasp. We can go on. But they found it. And Noah built it. None of that was Noah's responsibility. The only responsibility that Noah had was what? build the ark. God took care of the rest. The only responsibility we have, ladies and gentlemen, is this. And no matter what any other organization, no matter what any other religious group, no matter what anyone else says, God will take care of the rest if I'll obey this. I do know that the scripture says many are called, but a few are chosen. That's because some are thawed and a few are still frozen. So, but we'll move on. I don't want to get anybody upset here tonight. But he moved by fear and he obeyed God. Okay, what if Noah protested? What if he said, Lord, you know you're God and you can save me without an ark. You can save my family without an ark. Building an ark would mean salvation by works. Wow. You ever heard that? You folks are working for your salvation. You're laboring for your salvation. Although there is a scripture that says, show me your faith, I'll show you my works. Show me your works and I'll show you my faith. And without works, it's without faith and without works, it's impossible to please God. But that group don't want to hear about that. Anyway, Noah could have said, I'm not going to show the world that you have to work for your salvation. So I'll just believe in you and I'll confess you when the rain comes. If Noah had just simply believed in God, confessed God to the rest of the world, when God in fact told him with his own word what it was going to take for him to be saved. When the flood came, if Noah had not built the ark, I would like this congregation to tell me what would have happened to him. See, perfect timing for this Bible study. Because you don't know what would have happened to Noah. He would have drowned. Am I right? No ark. Flood comes, no safety. The Lord was beginning to present himself as factual. And what I'm saying to you, you must obey and you must do. Yes, it is faith, but it is not faith in what we feel and what we think or our opinion. It is faith in the Word of God. Noah had faith in God and built the ark. We are to have faith in God and obey the word of God. Noah built a physical ark. We are to build a spiritual ark that will get us out of here when the rapture takes place. Does that make sense? Amen. So he did not make excuses. His faith became real when he obeyed God's command. He wasn't saved by his works, but by genuine faith in God's word, which caused him to obey God's plan. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. Hebrews 11:8. Amen. He left his home and old way of life to serve the one true God. Amen. He had the attitude of genuine faith and repentance. By faith he obeyed and was counted as righteousness. Amen. Through faith Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Amen. In other words, the Lord was specific. If I don't see the blood, firstborn's going to die. We can't have an opinion about that. We can think anything we want to, but we can't have a bona fide opinion about that. The only thing that we can do, and if we were Hebrew or if we were Israelites, we would have to obey if we didn't want the firstborn to die. Am I correct? Because sure enough, after the angel passed, where he did not see the blood on the doorpost, the firstborn in that house died. This is a lot deeper than a simple believism. Simple, Lord, I believe you as my personal Savior. Come on, really? Amen. 66 books and we only got to believe that much? Amen. We've got to find our way through the Word of God because this is the map all the way to glory. And it is a process. Amen. If you came expecting a 30-minute sitcom where it's terrible to begin with and 20 minutes later everything's fine, amen, you may have fallen in the wrong place. But we honestly believe that day by day it's a process to get where God wants us to be. Yes, you could be born again tonight, amen, but that doesn't mean you're finished. Being born again is just a start if you want to stay that way. For there are those out there that believe you can't even backslide. How convenient is that? Amen. Just stop what you're doing for a few minutes and tell the Lord that you believe in Him as your Savior. And then 10 minutes later, go back to what you were doing again. Hello? Listen. The Word of God is not silly. The Word of God is correct, and it's strong, it's powerful, it's sharper than a two-edged sword, amen, to the piercing of the marrow of the bone, amen. And so we need to comprehend some things. So what if the Israelites said, Lord, we don't want to kill a lamb. We don't want to sprinkle any blood on the doorpost. We'll simply sit in our homes believing in you and confessing you to one another, and the angel of death would have visited their home, killing their firstborn, and they would not have been delivered from Egypt. Their faith became real in their act of obedience. That's when faith becomes real. When Jesus called Peter and Andrew to become disciples, He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. That's Matthew 4:19. What if they said, we believe you are the Son of God. We believe that you are the Messiah, the Savior of the world, but just continued fishing. They would not have become His disciples. They became His disciples when they left their nets and they followed Him, because that's what He told them to do. The only way we're going to make heaven our home is if we do what He tells us to do. Right? The Word of God takes preeminence over everything. Amen. Hallelujah. Just before Jesus ascended to heaven, He appeared to over 500 disciples at one time. This is found in 1 Corinthians 15:6. Praise the Lord. After that, He was seen of above 500. It was 500 or more, the scripture was saying. Above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep, meaning they have passed away. But 500 of them saw. He commanded them to wait in Jerusalem until they received the Holy Ghost. How many, some of you Bible scholars help me, how many initially received the promise of the Holy Ghost? 120. What happened? Not the 500 who saw the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not the 500 that believed in His resurrection. But only the 120 who waited in prayer on the day of Pentecost received the gift of the Spirit. It is likely that the others, they probably did later on also. I'm hoping they did. But the promise came only to those who acted upon it and claimed it personally. According to Romans 1:16, we're saved by believing in the gospel. Everybody shout gospel. Say gospel. Say gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. We are saved by obeying the doctrine. Amen. These are not contradictory statements. Amen. Nor do they describe two different methods of salvation. Instead, they are equivalent statements inspired by the Holy Ghost. When we truly believe the gospel, guess what we will do with that gospel? We will obey it. Amen. Jesus becomes the author of eternal life for all who obey his word and his gospel. God gives the Spirit to those who obey him. Judgment will come upon all who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's 2 Thessalonians for you right there in chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Amen. And to who, unto you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Ladies and gentlemen, there it is. Amen. Once we come to him, we have got to develop a relationship with him, because there's more to it than what we know. And that he said, they're coming with vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not what? The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the true PowerPoint here tonight is this gospel thing is pretty serious. So what has got to be done? What is it? I want to know what it is specifically so I can obey it. Amen. In the church age, we're to believe and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what is the gospel? Or good news, that's what gospel means. What is the good news? Jesus died for our sins. Everybody hold a finger up. Humor me. He died for our sins. Amen. He was buried, and then he rose again. If you want to find a three-ism in the Word of God, there it is. The devil's got people chasing the wrong three so that he can get their attention off the right one. There are not three gods. I don't even have to preach that because every one of you believe that. Amen. He was the Father in creation. He's the Son in redemption. And he's the Holy Spirit when you receive him. All these three are. Amen. Hallelujah. And so there you have it. He died. He was buried. And then he rose again in power, dominion, and authority. Hallelujah. How do we believe this gospel and apply it to ourselves personally? We know what Jesus did. We know what he called the gospel. How do we apply that personally? The apostles gave the answer on the birthday of the church in Acts chapter 2. Peter preached the simple gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The hearers were convicted of their sins, and they cried out to the apostles, "What shall we do?" They were not asking how to be blessed. That's not the faith they were after that day. But how to be forgiven of their sin. They created a pretty rough sin. You've got to comprehend that it was not the world that crucified Jesus Christ. Are you ready for this? It was a modern day church. The priests, the high priest, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the hypocrites, people that went to church every Sunday. They were the ones that crucified him. They killed him because he came preaching his doctrine that the Spirit or the Father gave the Son or the flesh to preach and teach. And because they would not receive it, would not believe it, would not act upon it, the only way to get rid of it was to crucify its source. And that's what they did. Amen. I can't help it if people don't want to believe what the Bible that we preach. I cannot help that. But I'll help anyone that wants to believe what the Word of God has to say. I don't claim to have a corner on all of the truth, because we can learn daily. We can grow daily. We stretch every day. We learn more. There's more revelation to obtain. Amen. But we've got the gospel down pat, because it's as plain as the nose on your face when you see it and you're fixing to see it. They were not asking how to be blessed, but how to be forgiven of their sins, of murdering Jesus Christ, and how to accept Him as their Lord and Savior. They're not saying those words. They're not saying, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. They're seeking how to receive Him as their Lord and Savior. Peter did not say, since you have changed your minds and now believe in Jesus and that He is the Lord and Savior, you are now saved. Did he say that? He did not say that. Amen. Instead, he instructed them to act upon their new belief by repentance. Everybody hold a finger up. That's your death. When you repent, you turn from your ways and you turn to his ways. That's your death. I'm talking about the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. When you repent, that's your death. Amen. And that's what Peter taught. He said, to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. The Bible says we are buried with him in baptism. There's our burial. When we repent, we die to our ways. When we're baptized, we are buried with him in baptism. Amen. And Peter said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's our resurrection. Without the Holy Ghost, there is no resurrection. Jesus said, destroy this body, in 3 days I will raise it up, because he was the Holy Ghost. And if there ain't no grave going to hold his body down, there ain't no grave going to hold my body down, because he gave me his Holy Ghost. Amen. And so, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, that's resurrection. Amen. This answer was simply what Jesus had taught. By faith, we repent. By faith, we are baptized. By faith, we receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. These events are not our works to earn salvation, but they are God's works in us as we respond to the gospel by faith. And so, it is. By faith, we apply the gospel to our lives, and we will receive new birth. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel to you and I in the New Testament is repentance, baptism, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Now, I just taught you how to tie your shoes, and you'll never be able to forget. Praise God. Amen. And you know the Word of God says that if any man preaches any other thing except what we have delivered unto you, let them be accursed. Is that why the Pentecostal church is the fastest growing thing right now? It was prophesied about 20 years ago by our friend Jack Yance. Jack Yance was a great official at our headquarters. He was the one that instigated and initiated Search for Truth. It has evangelized our world. He initiated that. Just a little guy, and kind of like me and Jesus, nothing much to look at. But I'm just telling you right now, he shook our world with some of the things that God gave him. Amen. And so it is. Listen. We need obedience. We need faith. But we need obedience to the faith that we have. Lord, I believe that you are my Lord and my Savior. Now, I have submitted myself to you. What do I do to be saved? Right? Amen. So by faith, we apply the gospel to our lives and receive this new birth. Praise God. Why don't we stand together? And I just don't know how you feel about it, because it's a personal feeling. But I cannot thank God enough for this truth. Can I just briefly tell you, and I mentioned Brother Jack Yance, can I just briefly tell you how your pastor found truth? No one came up to my door with a home Bible study. No one came to me with a chart and a pointer and said, just follow me as I follow Christ and I'll show you what salvation is. The Spirit of God spoke this truth to me. There's only been a handful of times that I've heard the voice of God, and I heard it that day. And He gave me the whole thing. And I thought, my Lord, I thought I was the only one in the world. I said, Lord, what am I going to do with this message? 17 years old. I haven't even had my license very long. But I had a place that I prayed, and I prayed there every day. Every day I was faithful to pray there. And it was in one of those sessions in prayer, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, there, you know that I am only one. You know that my word says repent, and that you've got to be baptized in my name, and that I will fill you with my Spirit. That's how I received it. It scared me to death. I said, Lord, where am I going to find this? I went to my uncle and shared it with him. He about kicked me out of the house. He said, oh, you just been hanging around with that Jesus only bunch. I said, what does that even mean? I didn't know there was a Jesus only bunch. And he said, yeah. He said, I said, whatever, you know. And then another day, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to move back to Jacksonville, Florida. So I had been going to diverse churches and things, and because I was really hungry and I was really thirsty and I was really seeking God, and I wanted to know. I didn't want to just do what everybody else was doing. I wanted to know. Amen. And then I find in the Scripture, the Bible says, for lack of knowledge, my people will perish. No wonder I wanted to know, because I don't want to perish. I want to make it. And so I moved back to Jacksonville, Florida. And my first thought about that was I really didn't want to go back to that same church I went to when I previously lived in Jacksonville, Florida, because it wasn't, well, I'm just going to tell you, it wasn't truth. And they believed weird stuff, and it was real tiny and small, and I don't have anything against tiny and small church. There was a time we were tiny and small. But the young people there were just crazy, and, you know, there were one thing on Monday and another thing on Sunday, and I knew I wouldn't fit in. But here's the Lord telling me to go there anyhow. Another opportunity like Noah, another opportunity like Moses, another opportunity like Joshua and Caleb, another opportunity to say, Lord, I'm just going to sit right back over here. I got a good job. I got a good car. I got people that love me. And so I'm just going to just believe in you and live for you right here and not do what I feel like you're telling me to do. And I would have missed my salvation, because this is what happened. I moved back to Jacksonville, Florida. It was a process of about 6 months, but the Lord had perfect timing, because He knew how hard my head was going to be. And finally one night I said, okay, here we go. It's Wednesday night, and I thought, here we go, I'm going back to this church. I drove back to that church. I walked in, and a crowd of folks was making their way to the platform. They sang. As soon as the choir was finished singing and their pastor preached the word of God, the Spirit of the Lord spoke and said, follow them. That's where I want you to go to church. It had never happened before, and it was only one service that it was going to happen this time. It had never happened before, and it never happened afterward. Amen. That a United Pentecostal church choir and a United Pentecostal Church pastor was preaching for a Trinity Assembly of God church that night, and that night only. And I followed them back to their church, and that's what I've been ever since. All we've got to do is this. All we have to do is the Word, and He'll take care of the rest. He'll lead you. He'll direct you. And all we've got to do is follow Him. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. How many of you would like to just, let's just surrender one more time to the Lord. Let's just close our eyes and lift our hands and say, Lord, I want to be led. I want to be directed. I want that from you. I need that from you. I don't want to be pushed around by men, and I don't want to be shoved around by opinion or fashion or fad or anything like that. But I want the unadulterated Word of God to direct my path and to give me light in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Folks, you're going to feel this every time that we talk about the plan of salvation, because there's only one faith. Amen. There's only one faith, and that's Bible faith. That's Bible truth. That's the Word of God. God bless you as you're dismissed. Thank you so much for being here tonight.